Blog Talk Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين.
You're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected.
Community-wide Shura and AM 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event to strengthen our national intelligentsia and network. Contact underwriting today at cwsconline@gmail.com. That's cwsconline@gmail.com. Or call 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake this world into a better place.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
And we're on. Your mic is open.
Imam DeLacy, your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum. Yeah, I muted myself.
Peace
and blessing. Yeah, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, merciful redeemer. I was talking, Michael, and I guess I had the mute on. I went over there, hit the speaker with my thumb. I must have hit the mute button and everything. Welcome, dear listeners, to preparing to make it in the land of plenty with God's name, the merciful benefactor, merciful redeemer. We witness openly there's one creator of this vast universe, and any universe we're going to discover, many have been discovered, by the way, and they're all the results of a creator. They are not random events happening in space and time. A creator is responsible for that. And we say that creator is Allah, one creator, one, the one, so we witness openly there, one creator, and Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, who came with the Quran 1,400 years ago, is the prophet of messenger and prophet and the seal of the prophets. There's no more prophets to come. The Quran, we accept as Allah's last revelation, as he has stated, our creator has stated that. So we've been talking about the Hajj and the social implications of the Hajj. And we're gonna wrap that up this morning and then go right into the aspect of how that's a model and example for community development. And look at some of the challenges that we face with the responsibility of being Khalifa. I use that term, or the vice chairman, as some translate that term, but being responsible for this creation and how it has to move forward. So welcome again. We hope to have some lively discussion. Mike, I want to start with you this morning. Professor, I'd like to start with Michael too. But I think we cut him off last week when we were talking about the Hajj. I just wanted to make sure he finished his thoughts on that particular topic, because I got excited. You know, I went into Moose Delaford. That's my favorite. That was one of the best, I would say, profound experiences I had on the Hajj, when I awakened in that valley of Moose Delaford, looking at all these dead people laying out and shrouded in white. The burial cloth for the Muslims, by the way, listeners who may be listening, is two pieces of white cloth wrapped. The body gets wrapped in that after being washed and prepared for burial. And and then when the rain came down, I saw these people rising up, and my mind was racing so much and looking at all of the signs. And this valley looks like a big cemetery. It looked like a big mass grave. And I guess that really had a profound effect on my thinking, as well as I got a little excited to remember that picture and recall it and bring it to the attention of our listeners. I wanted them to see that in that journey. You know, we've always worrying about money and material and how much it's going to cost for this, how much it's going to cost for that. But at the end, that you have is your soul. And I'm using, that's Tracy Chapman, got a song, "All That You Have Is Your Soul." And when you go to that grave, you go to the grave, everybody goes with you, and you are left alone there. And that you are left alone there. And the only thing, as our prophet has pointed out, that stays with you are your deeds. What did you do? How did you live this life that God gave you? And did you live up to your responsibilities, et cetera, et cetera? That's what's going to be the most valuable thing you could have. You know, I had someone telling me about, you talk about preparing to make it in the land of plenty, and ain't got no money. I said, I'm wealthy. You know, I have a good life. I have everything I need. You know, I may not have the standard of money that someone says, but I know Allah can give me that any minute. I could get that overnight. That's not a problem. But I do have my life. I do have my life as a Muslim, a believer in Allah. What a valuable thing. And that's what this program is about. When we talk about preparing to make it in the land, we are talking about giving you keys, giving you knowledge and information to help you avoid, my brother Shaheed said, the booby traps that are out here in this society and that's designed to keep you from making it in this society. So this is what the program is about, how El Islam can equip you and aid you and facilitate your opportunities for success if you embrace it with faith and work. You got to work. No free ride. So, Michael, please share with us some concerns you may have, and inshallah, we'll circle back to you, Professor, and we'll get started on wrapping up this picture of Hajj and moving into our Hajj. You know, I invite our audience, you know, you can't afford to make pilgrimage. Make it in your own neighborhood, your own family, your own environment. Go ahead, Michael.
Praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum to you, Imam, Professor Rabbani, and to the listening audience. Very briefly, those that make the Hajj and carry that experience with them, when they return home, they have food for their souls, for establishing excellence in their own life and excellence in the community that they return to. The special man and woman that returns with that experience in their soul, that they can reflect upon and utilize for strengthening themselves and helping to strengthen and advance the community life. It's the greater Eid. It's the greater light, because it's pointing to foundationally those experiences are pointing to the foundation of the family. Prophet Abraham and his sacrifice of his son Ishmael. Prophet Abraham and his sacrifice of his wife Hajar by leaving her in the desert. For me, as I shared with you, the idea, the foundational need in establishing the social life, family and others in community, you have to have water, a water source. And here, through the experiences of the lady Hajar, you know, radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her, she, in her experience, found water, which is very necessary and essential for growing the life, any life, family, mm-hmm. community. So, you know, there's a lot of signs there. There are a lot, the overall experience of being around millions of people. I mean, how many people experience that? And it's so expressive, because there are no distractions. You're out in the desert, you know. It's so impactful, because you know you don't have a lot of distractions, you know. Yeah. And you mentioned Muzdalifah, and I'll finish with this. You know, in the whole, you know, we as African American, most of us are familiar with the Bible to some degree. And when you talked about Muzdalifah, it made me think about the dry bones, you know, coming together. And I'll just stop there.
Thank you, Michael, for sharing that. And Professor, welcome back. I know you just made a journey there to your home, family home there in South Carolina. And alhamdulillah, we appreciate you being there, being with us. So please share some comments you may have, would like to share on this topic we're heading into, leaving and heading into, which is really the same topic.
With God's name, the merciful benefactor, merciful redeemer, he witnessed that there is no God worthy of worship besides Allah, one and only, the maker, creator of the heavens and the earth, and all is in between. And we thank Allah for Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, who held on to his role, his job as a messenger of God, and establish the life, community life that we are talking about today in the city of Al-Madinah Munawwara, the city that radiates light. And that light has knowledge, it represents knowledge that spread all over the world that uplifted mankind to this day where we refer to Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, as the leader of modern man. And we thank Allah for our leadership in our community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Sister Clara Muhammad, Professor Farad Muhammad, that gave us a language, body, and a direction that that addressed our concerns and our problems, that and related to us the Quran and a new language to apply that Quran in our community in America, and that leads us to the that leads us to our community life, and it also connects with our spiritual requirements, spiritual and physical requirements. Hajj is most Hajj is physical and spiritual, and what we see what was mentioned about Muzdalifah, we we see the dead rising. And like you had mentioned, Imam Lacey, how you saw it as an awakening or a preview of the way in which the resurrection would have occurred, and this is also symbolic of how we have to see our community in America, African-American community, and our American community, how we have to present this knowledge, this light, and this water that would change the conditions, at least have people think about their condition that's bothering their soul. And once they see the condition through the language, this new language that came through our leadership in America through Imam W.D. Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Sister Clara Muhammad, and Professor Farad, may Allah forgive them all of their sins and grant them paradise. We will be able to excite the leadership. We don't have strong leadership like we had in after the days of chattel slavery, the Frederick Douglasses, the Mary I can't recall her name,
Bethune,
and also the writer, the newspaper writer who was a ardent supporter of the type of behavior.
Ida B. Wells,
who saw that there was a need, of course, for education. But what our biggest problem now is a moral leadership, moral education. So the water of Zamzam, which never stops running, you know, that we take when we're in Hajj, represents that you know, when we were in the church, it says, your cup runneth over, surely goodness and mercy shall come, you know, shall be part of your of the mercy that God gives us. Goodness is on the rise. So all of these things, if we can connect them and to our youth, and our youth is in a very precarious position, I see that this is one of the things that we're talking about in terms of community development and making it in land of plenty, getting our youth to that point.
You know, at this point, we've concluded that we got to build the structure and then bring the young energy to excite the young energy, young minds, and their physical bodies to take this mission forward. This responsibility is a big responsibility that we've been charged with this responsibility. Becoming Muslims, we have taken our shahada. We have witnessed that there's one creator, one humanity, and we are responsible. We are responsible for that. So welcome again, dear listeners. We're going to explore this topic a bit and look at how community development is the key for that. As you mentioned, Professor, that we are witnessing troubled souls. You look at all the violence and chaos that's going on in the world, especially in America and the world, but, you know, 21,000 gun murders here in this country this year, and we just 6 months in. You know, this is a war zone. We're really at war here. So there's a real problem. You mentioned troubled souls. You know, our communities have not been fulfilled. We don't have fulfilled community life. So we need to look back, circle back around to that. Don't touch that dial, dear listeners. You're listening to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice is protected. We're going to invite you to join in this conversation. So don't touch the dial. We'll be back in a while after these important messages.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain International is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports a healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Cereal Conference, and AM360 in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Fitra Muhammad bringing you good news. Study Al Islam Life Topic Series 2020 is back. How many times have you wondered when reading the Quran, what were the challenges and circumstances that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was facing when Allah sent the angel Gabriel with inspired revelation? Join us at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time every Sunday to learn from our scholarly speakers. If you were unable to connect because your carrier charged the fee, you may now listen online at am360.org. For a complete schedule of our speakers, email studyalislam@gmail.com or pick up the Muslim Journal. Thank you.
Thank you for those PSAs, Michael. And you know, we were having some discussions about the foundation for community life, and you know, and that picture of Hajar, I'll be pleased with her in that desert with her baby. And you know, one of the things we do on Hajj, we commemorate her searching for resources, running from sulfur and miles between these two mountains. She, was running backwards and forward looking for people or some help. When Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam left her there, she asked him, Are you doing this because of you or because God has ordered you to do it? And he was leaving, he told her God had ordered it. He agreed that because God ordered him to do that. So here you have a family leaving his family there in a desolate place out of faith that the Creator would provide for them. Creator would provide for them. And then you also have the mother with the same faith that if Allah has said for you to do this, I'm on board. I'm going with that. Strong picture of faith in action. Faith in action and believing that the Creator who's created everything will provide. And I'm not saying just for every family, but you know, we have the same situation, single parents, et cetera, et cetera. And we are looking at a opposite effect. We are, instead of life developing from it, it's being actually not so beneficial to the healthy development of life. So, but if faith in God could be a factor, it would be very interesting from a perspective of looking at communities and human development, how powerful that would be as a factor in protecting the families, protecting the home environment, where we've systematically had a failure of fathers in the home, the picture of fathers in the home. And the picture and the male figure itself is under attack. The idea of men is being attacked in this society. So, Professor, please share with us some concerns you may have on topic community development.
You know, some people, I guess, can be sarcastic and say, Abraham left his wife and child, like the Negro men leave their family. No, the Negro men leave their family for the appetites of society that have overwhelmed them, and they became an enslavement to it. But Ibrahim alayhi salam was one who was, he says that he was Muslim. He gives himself over to God, and whatever God commands him to do, he does. And this is the strength of those who believe versus those who are under the influence of the shaping of the big shaper, which is the Shaitan. And that's where our community, but look at the faith that Agar had, that she displayed and stood and held her ground. This is the strength that came out of, and of course, searching from one mountain to another, or one, attraction of society to another, but that was not fulfilling her son, having given him life, like the water that came out from under his heels of Zamzam, and that water never stops. You have to remember that it was 5,000 years ago, or so. Yeah. And you have water, which I was there with, and I talked with a lot of the engineers and scientists and the people who had hired outside people from Europe to try to locate the source of the water. And they made several studies and analysis, and they could not find its source. And they could not really tell or give a good explanation about why this source of water that has been coming and actually benefiting the whole city since 5,000 years. So there's nothing spooky about it. Allah does what he wills. But it shows about the water of moral life endemic in all of our human life, which has to be protected and developed. So that's that's the message I got from Hager, Ismael, and of Zambia.
Yeah, and I mentioned this morning we were talking about this topic, and I mentioned about the historic connection that we have, that we share as African Americans, formerly from the continent of Africa. Hadja was a Ethiopian woman, she represented this opportunity for life to take root. She at this site where Prophet Ibrahim left her, where millions of pilgrims come to. They make a pilgrimage every year to this specific site. They drink from that well, millions and millions, as you mentioned. Well, water, steady running, steady being advantageous to the community there. And then let's connect that. Let's connect that with our mothers, who are single mothers, who are supporting and have and offering that strength, waiting for help to come, praying for help to come, praying for support. And make no mistake about it, our men in pursuing the material world, many of them turn to crime and are being under the pressure and maybe get hooked on drugs, alcohol addiction, many other addictions from the trauma. I think we are traumatized people. We are still healing. We are still healing from our experiences of being oppressed and deprived. And, and you have some champions that can deal with that, but the average person can become traumatized. And then you have this idea of a system that wants to prod down on African-American men, leadership, locking them up, prison, just keeping the prisons full of young men, eliminating the possibilities for their development, and fight to spend money, won't spend money on education and job training and et cetera, where they could have a decent life. So you have this idea, I created the acronym. I think I was the first one, maybe I'm not. TAPS, trauma, addiction, poverty, and stress. TAPS, trauma, addiction, poverty and stress. And look at our community, traumatized community, turn to addiction, to self-medicate, and then which going to throw you into poverty. If you're spending money on drugs and alcohol, gambling, and et cetera, trying to get rich quick and all of that, it's going to throw you into poverty and possibly in prison. There should be two P's in there, poverty and prison. And then naturally you're going to have a stress community. And that's what we are witnessing. We are witnessing that in real time. But we have to say hats off to our mothers, because I had the same situation in my family life where our mothers and grandmothers are holding the line. They're holding the line. And we need to respond and help them. So, Michael, please share with us some of your opinion, or do we have any comments? Michael, you're on mute.
No callers at this time. We invite the audience to press one to come into the conversation. And I believe that trying to do a little quick research before you invited me to speak, but if my memory is serving me correctly, the prophets. Second wife, Hadja, and the site that I went to in terms of looking up her name it identified it as an Arabic name connected with stone and as well as connected with sunlight. But if I'm not mistaken, Prophet Abraham, he sojourned in Egypt, and the Egyptian leader, may have been the Pharaoh, took a liking to, he was attracted to Prophet Abraham's first wife, Sarah. And there was a kind of confrontation that's given in the Quran where the Pharaoh mentions his power, you know, and that power, Abraham compares that power, you know, you say you have power over life and death, but can you make the sun come up in the west, you know, instead of, you know, there are limits to your power, in other words, what he's saying. But anyway, as I understand it, out of that confrontation, the Pharaoh agreed to give his daughter. So this woman, she became a servant to Sarah. This woman comes from what, quote unquote, royalty, you know, out of Egypt. And this is something that we don't talk much about, you know, the climate, the language climate about race and this color being better than another color, this ethnic group being better than another. You know, we don't talk about the origins that are connected with Africa, you know, as Muslims. But I think now because of some of the things that we're seeing, now, you know, it's not appropriate to dwell on it, but it's appropriate to mention the fact that the African, for many thousands of years now, has been undermined. And Allah has permitted that for a reason. And now, along with the rise of his correcting the social constructs, since women being abused and being said that the women don't have any soul, and along with that, the blacks don't have souls. You know, this is what religion has propagated for hundreds upon hundreds of years, that the woman is the accomplice to the devil, because she ate the fruit and passed it on to her husband. So yeah. a lot of these negative and false images are being corrected by Almighty God, Allah, in this time. And we do have a caller now.
Okay, let's go to our caller, Brother Michael, and I would just say the religion of El Islam is your legacy. It's our legacy. And God has preferred his life for his human family. So caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. This is Nasif Majid in Charlotte.
Welcome.
A belated Eid Mubarak to all of y'all and the professor.
Thank you.
Two things, you triggered something in me. I just had to call. But one thing the professor said was talking about the going from Safa to Mara, and talking about the moral waters, and talk about moral waters, but at the heel of Ibrahim, water,
Ishmael,
the water, yeah. The water came up at his heel, and looking at where the heel is in the position of the foot, it's the soul. So that was kind of coincidental, the water came right, hit him on the soul, you know. So I mean that's what came to mind. And but also you talk about trauma, and I would say PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah.
But I think about post-traumatic slavery disorder, which we've had 400 years. Just think about this. We have 400 years of physical and psychological trauma.
Yeah.
400 years. It's been practiced for long. It's in the DNA almost, you know? And so this shadow slavery, a very different kind of slavery, no place in the world. And
that's
we've
right.
had this unparalleled in the history of humankind. So we got a problem, but like I said, we're not even addressing the problem because nobody wants to speak the truth to the problem. You know, they don't want you to describe it in the history books now. They're fighting for that. You know, the truth. You tell the truth, that's gonna hurt some people. Well, so we can't tell the truth. We got to tell a lie. So the truth becomes a lie, and the lie becomes the truth.
Yeah.
So we're still not addressing the problem. And so, just as a bottom line, if I can't Johnny get ahead and he's African American in the United States, or why can't African American get ahead? We've been under tremendous pressure, and in spite of that, we still have Larry Lyons.
That's right.
Nigerians come here, and Jamaicans, and people from Brazil, and all all over the world come here, and they say, oh, this is opportunity to get ahead. Why can't y'all do that? Well, they haven't been put in this pressure cooker like we have.
That's right.
Yeah. It's not that simple.
Yeah.
But what we should really look at, those of us who have come up to peace by Allah's mercy, and say, Larry Lahaila Law, who got the mind, we should be looked at as, how did this happen? It is a miracle.
Yeah.
The thing about it, until these problems are addressed, we accept this trauma as a people, what was put on us, you don't know what hit you. We don't even know what hit us. So we will never get out of this situation not even being able to recognize what the problem is.
Thank you so much, Councilman. That's Imam Nasif, who's a state representative in North Carolina, by the way, who's working in the community all the time to make our lives better. We appreciate you so much, Imam. Thank you for those comments. Yes, that trauma is really something. So, Professor, we'll circle back to you. I know that's your good friend there. So share with us some concerns falling behind your good friend over there.
Every time
I think about y'all two together, I start laughing, you know.
that's the example of strong moral leadership.
Yes.
And this is what's absent in our government. And, when you look to support leaders who have strong moral principles and strong faith, that's going to create an excellent mindset for demonstration, especially for our youth, you know. Because our biggest problem are these leaders who go out fishing for the weaknesses in our people, you know. And then once they get their position, very, very seldom will they come up with solutions. They only cry the blues. Oh, we don't have affirmative action. Hell, you didn't need affirmative action when you came out of a chattel slavery, and you made more progress then than you're making now. All you have is a bunch of Negroes running around with paper degrees talking about they doctor this and doctor that and can't tie their shoes. And the thing about it is that they go from one school, again, they use the term HBCU. Now, that ties you down already. Historical black college, you know, you tied down already. You don't have enough sense to say, you know, look, we can't be calling ourselves this. We're universal in our thinking. We have a university, one verse. These are the things that leadership should support. All they're interested in is getting grants from the government to do research that nobody knows what the research is after they complete. And they'll go to a conference, and the next thing you know, they're laid up with their secretaries and everything else. This is a common practice.
Yeah.
So when the youth see this, and when we know it, and they know it, You don't have any moral authority over them. Nobody has accepted an authority over them.
So,
and this higher authority is what is important.
I want to intervene and ask you a question. I want to intervene and ask you a question I'd like you to address. And it's from the perspective, you know, from the perspective of our program, Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty, where we examine how the religion of Islam prepares a person, the practice of the religion, faith in God, prayer, charity, being generous with your resources, fasting, disciplining yourself to be strong, and then making a social connection with the Hajj, where we've been talking about for the last 3 or 4 weeks. How those practices prepare a person to be successful in the land of plenty. Now, why do our educated historians, et cetera, all the people you just mentioned with paper degrees, why don't they look at the model of progress that was made in from the Muslim community, a Muslim perspective, and share that picture with the public? Well, you know, why not give a honest evaluation of where the most progress was made in terms of community development in the modern age, Reconstruction? Share with me your thoughts on that.
I have a statement that I make when I speak to these people. And the statement is they're two weak people. Now every TWOWEEK week they get a check, they get money, so that's 2 weeks. Then there's the two TOOWEAK eat the 2 week people WEAK, huh? So they those two things damage their courage. You have to have courage to tell authority. When Abraham, peace and blessings be upon him, was approached by the king of Pharaoh, the king asked him. He said, "Abraham, how you gonna make it without me?" And Abraham said, "Look. The one who created me shall guide me. I don't need you as a oppressor." So they are being oppressed by fear of loss. So their mouths are shut. In other words, they can't heal, H-E-A-L, heal their soul, S-O-U-L, and become a moral strength for the community.
Yeah.
That's tying in with Hajj, okay?
Yes, sir. You know, when you were spelling wheat, and I was thinking about wake, W-E-A-K-E, wake and woke.
Woke, exactly.
Well, that language thing kicking in from all angles, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why? Because
so
we're feeding off of a
truth.
New language. We're feeding off of
truth.
A new, Yeah, we feed off a new language body.
Yes, we do.
And our minds become.
Build a tower, you know, during Ramadan, let me just share this, Professor, right quick on this topic.
Mm-hmm.
During Ramadan, we read in the Quran where the one place where Ramadan is there in Surah 2, verse 185, where Allah says that Ramadan is the month that the Quran was revealed as a guide for humanity. So we got a job of sharing this information with all of humanity. And it's clear evidence on guidance clear. No mixed in guidance. It's very clear guidance. And it's a Farcon, it's a standard scale for weighing what is guidance from what is not guidance. A valuable book. Here's a valuable book given to us by the Creator to govern and shape human life. So, you know, why are we not utilizing that? So let's go to, and I interrupt you, but I know we're running into some time restraints here, and I don't want to dominate the program. So
I just wanted to add one little thing.
Yes, sir.
Is that when you speak truth to power, so to speak, they cannot do that because they have an image of their savior in front of them in their back of their mind that puts fear and consequences almost like.
Psychological trauma, like you mentioned.
Exactly.
Psychological trauma.
Exactly. So, you have to be a rare person to develop that strength to confront. Okay.
Yeah. I was thinking about my brother. I was on this job. I used to be correcting them on how to load cars on the truck. And I would go and get in their face and say, "You're not doing this correct. You see this that?" My brother was sitting in the truck watching me. He said, "You went up in that white boy's face, huh?" I didn't think nothing of it, you know? I didn't think nothing of it. So look, Michael, we have some concerns, and we need to take a break, I know, so you got the controls in your hands, my brother.
All right.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Akbar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360, inviting you to join us every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. for Narrative Aspiration. Believe, when we aspire, we go higher. Each and every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And we're back.
Yeah, so you know we don't want our program to deteriorate into a race-based batting situation, but it's very profound and challenging that we have this traumatic psychological experience to overcome, but we have guidance sent to us in the help of the Quran tied to this historical legacy. And you know, Imam Muhammad, he said, Islam is your heritage. God says he has preferred this for the human family. This religion is a prescription to heal the human family, and it's preferred by God. There are other ways you can be successful in life, but God has stated specifically he has preferred this way of life for the human family. So that's what we deal with. We know when we are talking about preparing to make it in the land of plenty, how does this religion position the person to be successful in this diverse Western culture that's full of booby traps for the family, for the child, for the woman, for babies, for the human family, full of booby traps. So, Michael, do we have any callers? If you want to make a comment, please.
Yes, no callers at this time. We invite you to press 1. We've got about 4 minutes plus the overtime that we are allowed. So my comment is that to invite the listening audience that has the internet to look up Dr. Joy DeGruy, DeGruy, Imam Nassif, State Representative Nassif mentioned post-traumatic slave syndrome. And Dr. Joy DeGruy has some interesting lectures along those lines and radio interviews along those lines. There's also another clinician, Ken Hardy. I sent to you, Professor Rabbani, and to you, Imam DeLacy, a short presentation by Dr. Kenneth V. Hardy on the assaulted sense of self. An environment for 400 years had been established to affect our very souls, a conditioning, a social conditioning, using fear tactics and the like, diminish how we see ourselves as human beings. And this, it even goes beyond, as I mentioned earlier, it goes beyond the 400 years of chattel slavery, which was an atrocity, that type of slavery. And now they're modifying the language. I've heard, you know, pieces of conversation on the internet. Well, there's always been slavery, you know, to kind of diminish the idea and not really, you know, getting away from the idea that the type of barbaric slavery established in America, it was barbaric because it emptied out the people from their connection with their past. And there's no, and afterwards there was no sense, you know. I've heard it said, when you uproot a person from the stabilizing effects of their past, their language, and so forth, that puts on you a social obligation, and that social obligation was not recognized. You know, the disruption of the life of a whole people that produced a new people, you know, and just saying, all right, you can go for yourself. This is a part of the reason why certain governments don't want the history of the African American people beyond slavery and during this barbaric time, because it puts a bad light on these,
and an obligation these, so, on them.
Well, you and know, I prefer it coming from God's help, just like reparations. You know, they're too poor to repair us. You know, they're too poor spiritually. They're too poor intellectually. They don't have what it takes to repair.
That's where I was going next to repair. This situation got to be repaired. It has to be repaired. But we are doing it when we're having these kind of conversations. Believe me, we are repairing it right now. You know?
Yes,
so
sir.
We're doing our job. We just have to stay on it and do more of it. Yes. So thank you, Michael, for sharing. Any other thing you have to say on that?
When you're ready.
Excited.
Yeah, I feel you. I would like to close out with a dua when you're ready to conclude the program.
Yeah, so let's circle back, Professor, give you some last comments. Professor, we understand you're getting ready to maybe take a trip back to Ethiopia. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. Inshallah, we'll try to make contact with additional suppliers and products.
I'm hearing some fatigue in your voice. I know you had a setback with your health, and I'm hoping you're doing better. And we ask our audience to make dua for our Professor Rabbani, that he have a speedy, fast recovery.
I was just sleepy. That's all. That's all the fatigue I get. But I just wanted to end with the fact that we have the leadership, and we thank Allah for our language and to awaken the spirit. You know, with all of those people who have trauma, there's some who refuse to let trauma overpower them, and they have a reserve in their soul that they get from their soul that could never be touched. And rise up out of that soul a man and a woman, a men and women, who can take on the challenge of a warrior. And bring about and don't care about the criticisms of the criticizers, and will continue until God says stop. Okay,
yeah, that's right.
When God says enough,
my faithful servant. Enough, my faithful servant. Yeah.
So I might seem drowsy, but that's a physical drowsy. But look here. Yeah. Let oppression raise his head up, and you will see a raging tiger come at you.
Allah, you got me excited.
Kicking butt, kicking asses that carry books.
Yes, sir.
I feel it.
Thank you. Thank you, Professor.
Yes,
I'm glad I got you stimulated there. I feel a little better now.
Praise be to Allah.
Michael, any final comments? You're going to make dua. I'd like to make some final comments.
Let me
make a few final comments here. We covered a lot of ground, and there's a lot of ground to be covered here. You know, and there's so much trauma in our communities and families and et cetera, et cetera. And we have the enemy of mankind working subtly in a subliminal way to keep that trauma, to keep that pressure on, where you're looking at the whole society bitter, angry, disappointed, full of lies and weak ideas and wrong thinking, as our imam described that situation, feeding on lies, weak ideas, and wrong thinking. And the whole society is traumatized at this point. So we have to have sane voices. I appreciate you, Michael, mentioning those clinical technicians who are doing work in this area. We need to highlight that more. We need to highlight more the healing processes that need to take place. And, you know, the imam said once in a lecture, he said, we should be angry at the society for creating the environment that take our children away from us, that destroy the life and future of our children. We shouldn't be mad at them for falling victim in this society where the devil has had thousands and thousands of years to attack the human family, attack the human person with a mission to do that. With a mission to do that, so we want to keep that thinking in mind that we are in a, as the professor said, we are in a battle. This is a war, really. 21,000 people gunshot wounded, half of them suicide. Go ahead, Michael.
We've got a caller. Caller, please be brief. Just a moment. Trying to get them in here. Having a little trouble. Just a minute. Okay, here we go. 401. 401.
Assalamu alaikum.
State your name.
Well,
assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Angela from North Providence, Rhode Island. Okay, the battle.
Welcome.
Some people say in Christianity, they say the battle is not ours, it's Allah's. No, but he made us vicegerents and caliphs to try to clean this mess up. But the whole thing, okay, if it's society, how do we can't force society. The only thing we can do is give them the word, like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Give them the word, give them the warning. The rest is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that's
yes.
all we can do. Put the word
that's
out
true.
There. That's if they accept, if they accept. If they don't, they don't. Every knee shall bend willingly or unwillingly. But I wish Allah would stop giving Shaitan respite and say, time is up, Shaitan. Enough is enough.
Be patient.
In his time, in his place, in his will, sabra, sabra. But Lord, I'm telling you, I don't have the patience of Job. I wish you would hurry up and do it.
We on our job. We gonna fight this fight. You know, we fighting this fight every week. We dealing with this. You know, we trying to give information that's gonna heal. Going to heal the human
yes.
family. That's our objective.
Sounds like Harriet Tubman to me.
Yes, it does.
Yes, sir. All right, my brother. So, Michael, please close us out with dua, inshallah, and we'll shut this one down. We'll circle back next week, inshallah. Dear listeners, stay tuned for tonight's program. Sister Dupreeza Hadid on the Islamic Learning Lab. But she's dealing with the attributes of Allah, which we say translates to the names of Allah, Allah's characteristics, basically. So tune in at, I think it's, I'm not sure the time, 7 p.m. or so, 8 or 9. But definitely come back and tune in. Michael, go ahead and close it out.
We pray Allah, guide us among those you've guided aright. Save us among those you save. Bless us in whatever you give us and deliver us from the harm that you judge. You judge and none can judge against you, and those whom you befriend are not disgraced. Assalamu alaikum.
I mean, assalamu alaikum.